And now, Boston Globe sports writer Bob Ryan joins us for a postmortem. Robert, I think we should call it CSI Red Sox. Bob, you've been reporting on sports for a long time now. Have you ever seen a team collapse like this in September?
Well, no, and nor has anyone else. Numerically, it's the greatest September failure of a team who had a lead for a playoff spot. They had a 9-game lead and lost it all. So we have not seen anything like it. And its ending was absolutely fictional.
What do you mean?
Well, the juxtaposition of events in game 162. When you're holding a lead and your rival is down 7-0 in the eighth inning. And things look pretty good, and we all know it didn't exactly turn out very well.
You know, the Red Sox had a lot of injuries that they were trying to cope with in the month of September, so that obviously contributed. But some of this was mental, wasn't it?
They gave away games in a frightening fashion, going back to the beginning of the month in a Toronto series. And I think the game where we can say this nightmare began to take shape was a game in Toronto in which they had an 8-5 lead. And Daniel Bard, who had been absolutely invincible for almost 3 months, lost the lead, and they wound up losing the game. Tim Wakefield had been the starting pitcher in the great quest he was having to get his 200th win. If you want to pinpoint a game that had a bad feel, and if you like omens, then I think you start right there.
And then Bard went on to just not pitch well for the rest of September, and even the reliable closer Jonathan Papelbon was giving things up.
He gave up... One in a game in which he came in the eighth inning. In fact, prior to the final game, the only two blown saves he had were games in which he had come in the eighth rather than the ninth. But in game 162, it was a very standard situation. He came in with a 1-1 lead in the top of the ninth, struck out the first two men, looked like his overpowering self, and then gave up double-double, cheap single, a ball that Carl Crawford has caught for 7 years in Tampa, but which you knew he was not going to catch in a Red Sox uniform.
You know, a lot of the hot stove season, the longer and unwelcome offseason now, I guess we should call it, is going to be spent finger-pointing. Who do we blame? Can we blame anyone in particular?
See, that's our national pastime, and it will be done, but it's the wrong way to approach it. This is a collective failure. And if you're going to have the three major entities, the players, the general manager, and the manager, well, I'll start off by saying the manager is by far the least culpable. He manages the team he's given. He managed in a manner that he has brought him 2 world championships. The team performed abysmally. The general manager made decisions, some of which did not turn out to be very good at all, but it's on the shoulders of the players. There were games and mistakes made and situations that if you were to rehash them one by one over the course of the month, you'll say, I can't believe this happened. But it did happen. But we know this. There will be the fingers pointed. I'd say that if when the dust settles, do not be surprised if both Terry Francona and Theo Epstein are in the employ of someone else.
Wow.
Well, but I say this because Epstein is already... been rumored to be in the running for the vacant Chicago Cubs job, which he has never categorically denied, if you check his non-denial denials. And secondly, Francona, for a variety of reasons, it's starting to make a great deal of sense to a lot of us in the media that it would be a perfect time for him to step away now. He's been here 8 years, which is an eternity by Red Sox managerial standards, just his longest stint since Joe Cronin's 12-year run from 1935 to 47. The stench that is around the ball club now is going to be lingering, and there could be some musical chairs going on in baseball. For example, Tony La Russa is rumored to be in his last year with St. Louis, and that would leave a very nice job for somebody, maybe Terry Francona, to go to St. Louis.
All right. What do you think the headline will be in regards to changes on the field for the Red Sox?
Well, the first thing is need to get this starting rotation put together. There's a vacancy with Daisuke Matsuzaka, certainly having thrown his last pitch as a Red Sox pitcher. And there was talk all year about the need for a right fielder and a right-handed hitter, and I think that will be a major quest. But when you look at the rest of the lineup, Crawford is going to be here in left field, hopefully playing better. And the other big question is the free agency of Jonathan Papelbon himself, which is going to be a very interesting story.
Robert, I wish we were talking about the Red Sox in the playoffs, but I guess that's... Just not to be.
No, and I it's not to be. And the way it came down, though, is absolutely it vindicated my feeling that when you look at the events of last evening, all throughout baseball, including the National League, in a matter of truth versus fiction, I recommend that you take truth plus the points every time.
Best line I've heard in the hours since the Red Sox lost last night was, "These are your father's Red Sox."
Yeah, how about that? We all the old stuff has come back to us. It is sort of biblical, you know, and it's sort of circular, but it's 4 years since the last one, and we are going to be talking about the same kind of misery that we talked about for 86 years.
Bob Ryan, sports writer for the Boston Globe, thanks a lot for speaking with us this morning.
You're welcome.